Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord. We just heard how Jesus fed the multitude in the wilderness. It's the only miracle story that's presented in all 4 Gospels. But as important as this event must have been for each writer to include it, the story began as an interruption. In the verses immediately preceding the passage we just heard, we're told that the apostles had returned from their preaching mission, and Jesus wanted time apart with them, but the crowds found this out and followed him. Jesus wasn't irritated because the crowds interrupted him. Instead, he used this occasion to perform a great miracle and then used that miracle as a great teaching moment for the disciples and gave the church a model for the Eucharist. All of this out of an interruption. So how did Jesus turn an interruption into a Eucharistic moment? First, Jesus never resented interruptions. He always welcomed them. Sometimes the difference in the way that we react to interruptions and therefore our ability to pardon them comes from our attitude about them in the first place. For most of us, our time is so tightly scheduled and our lives are so overfilled with things on our to-do list that interruptions are looked at as unwelcome intrusions into our busy life. But maybe that's where the problem is. Maybe we're just too busy. How many times have we missed the great gifts of things like recreation, beauty, enhanced relationships, because we guarded our lives so vigorously from interruptions? Jesus always had some time in his busy life. He always had time for children. He always had time for conversation with a disciple or a Pharisee. He always had time for an impromptu appointment with someone who was in need. If all of our life is too ordered, too tightly organized, too driven, there's no room for spontaneity. And sometimes spontaneity are the most important moments in our lives. Jesus' advice to us today is that we must always pay careful attention to the interruptions, especially the interruptions that are related to human need, because those interruptions don't get in the way of our work. They are our work as his disciples. Second, Jesus used the feeding of the multitude to demonstrate to the disciples a pattern for both their ministry in the world and for the mystery of the Eucharist within the context of its worship at Mass. Notice Jesus' actions. He took the little amount of food that was available. He blessed it. He broke it, and he gave it back to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the crowd. This pattern of taking, blessing, and giving was characteristic of Jesus, so much so that it was this action by him late in the day on that first Easter that opened the eyes of the two travelers in Emmaus, letting them know that it was the risen Lord who was with them. By the miracle in today's gospel, Jesus not only gave us the pattern for the Eucharist, but he also gave the church a model for her ministry to alleviate human hunger and human suffering. Jesus wanted his church to always look for ways to heal human hurts, to feed human hunger, to reverse human injustice, rather than to run from those things and to try to pass them off to government or community agencies. The church can never separate its commitment to the Eucharist from its commitment to help ease human suffering. The Eucharist, without social involvement, makes our worship ring hollow, just as social involvement that's divorced from continual nourishment at the table of the Lord makes the church's ministry to the poor fail from spiritual exhaustion. Jesus tied both of these dimensions of the church's work and worship together in this miracle. As we celebrate the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, we are in many ways like the crowd in the gospel. We have come here today with our hopes and with our needs to encounter Jesus. Hopefully, our day is different when we receive him in the Eucharist. Let us always strive to see him in every person we encounter. Let us always express our gratitude to him for spiritually nourishing us with this wonderful gift. The best thanks that we can give him is to show him that our lives have been changed by this priceless gift.